If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5, and you've guessed it, I want to speak to you about Naaman. For some of you, this is a familiar story. Perhaps for others, perhaps not so familiar. Perhaps for someone, you may have never heard about Naaman at all. But the account of Naaman and his leprosy is a wonderful illustration to show us the wonderful truths of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have a text. It is found in verse 10. Verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Now, Naaman, verse 1, tells us something about him. He held a high position in the Syrian army. He was the commander. He represented a great nation, Syria. He had great respect and honor throughout that nation. He had a great reputation when it comes to victories in war. He gave a great victory. Syria had a great victory because of Naaman over disobedient Israel. And it says in verse 1 also that he was a great soldier, a mighty man of valor. But verse 1 concludes with one of the great buts of the Bible. But he was a leper. There was a day in the normal course of life when suddenly he noticed a blemish on his arm. And day by day, that little blemish got bigger and bigger. He realized it was beginning to eat his skin away. And all the joys of the past achievements of his life were being shadowed by this terrible disease that was taken over his life. His reputation was now fading. All they knew that Naaman has leprosy. They didn't think about all his past achievements. His life was filled with uncertainty and fear. And now he was going to fight the biggest battle he'd ever fought in his life. And many fight it today. Against disease and death. And he knew full well he'd conquered many armies, but he was never going to conquer death. But he was a leper. He had a great need. But I'm going to ask you this question to lodge it in your minds for a bit later on. What was his greatest need? Now, get your minds thinking. Was it for a new skin? Oh yeah, you say. Hang on a moment. The account of Naaman tells us this. He had a greater need than his skin being renewed. His greatest need was having a new heart. And you'll see as we go through this little passage that we will discover before he could have an outward new skin, he needed a new heart. Now that's the gospel we preach. You can't change the outward until you change the inward. There's those in the state of America, Christian nationalism, they say, let's make our nation Christian. But they've got it all wrong. Before you can change the outside, you need to change the inside. And that's the glories of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And some people come to me with all difficult problems and all the situations they're in. And I say, your greatest need is to have a new heart within, to be born again of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, in the Bible, leprosy is a picture of sin. Do you remember Adam and Eve? They took off the fruit of the forbidden tree. It seemed only an insignificant act. But it was an act of rebellion against Almighty God, and into this world flooded suffering and death and disease. Man was out of sync with his Maker. Man was separated from the God who'd made him. And man had been spoilt by sin. We as Christians got the only answer for why the world is as it is. We've been spoilt by sin. And that's what sin has done for us. That's why people long for joy, long for freedom, but they can't find it. You can only find it in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Whoever committeth sin is a slave to sin." And you'll meet people, and we know it in our own experience, there are some things we just can't help doing. Why? Because we are a slave to sin. Now, Naaman needed to be cleansed from his leprosy. How is he going to be cleansed from his leprosy? But there's a bigger question. How are you going to be cleansed from your sin? That's the bigger question. You can have a terrible disease, but that's not the biggest problem. The biggest question you need to ask, how can I be cleansed from my sin? Well, we're going to go through this little passage making some observations. But first of all, I want to tell you something amazing. There was a young girl. She was a servant in Naaman's house. She'd been cruelly mistreated. She'd once lived in Israel with her family. But the army of Syria had come. And more than likely, her mum and dad had been murdered by them. She'd been taken captive and brought back to Syria. And here she is, a servant to Naaman's wife. And there she is, doing a good job, it would seem. Now, she's a wonderful example. In the matter of a course of a day, she just said to her mistress, "Do you know, there's a prophet in Israel who could heal Naaman of his leprosy." Just a few words. Now, she could have been bitter. "Look what this Naaman's done. He commanded the army to go into Israel." She could have held bitter, resentful thoughts against Naaman because it was all his fault that her mum and dad had been murdered in that battle. But she didn't. She did what Christians should do. We don't render evil for evil, do we? We render good for evil. That's what the Bible tells us to do. And despite how we're mistreated, and despite how we're misrepresented, we show good because we have received good and grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. So she's a wonderful example of Christian character. She said, "Oh, would to God that the master, my master, would go to Israel, to the prophet there." But I want to tell you something else about this young girl. It says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 27, Jesus' words, "There were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." In other words, this young girl had never seen a leper cleansed. Amazing. But she believed her God could cleanse Naaman from his leprosy. Isn't that amazing? Oh, for young people today who had that sort of confidence in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who would go everywhere telling them of a Saviour who can clean up lives and forgive sins and give people, men and women, boys and girls, new hearts. She's a remarkable young lady. Everything seemed against her, and that there she was. We don't know her name, but she was in the right place at the right time, saying the right words in order that we might be able to read chapter 5 of 2 Kings about this wonderful miracle that happened to Naaman. Well, soon, as a result of that young lady, Naaman is on his way to Israel. Now, remember what I said? Before he could have a new skin, he needed a new heart. Okay? That's a great principle of the gospel. You can't change the outward until you've changed the inward. Now, Naaman's going to make a few mistakes, and we're going to think about Naaman's mistakes. Quite a few mistakes, and they're common mistakes that people make today about the gospel. Number one, he thought cleansing could be purchased by money. In other words, he wanted to contribute something towards his cleansing. Look what he took with him, verse 5. He took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 changes of clothing. So he took all those things with him. But what did Elisha do? Well, verse 16, I will receive nothing. And do you know something? That's a great principle. You cannot contribute to your salvation. It's all of grace, free grace. Why should God love us? Not because we deserve anything. It's all because of his wonderful, wonderful grace. Now, Gehazi spoilt the picture. Do you remember what we read? He went running after Naaman. Oh, there's two prophets come. We need some money. We need some clothing. And of course, Gehazi told some very big lies. And Gehazi spoiled the picture. Elisha was faithful. It's all of grace. But Gehazi was in it for the money. And that's why a terrible judgment came on Gehazi. The judgment of leprosy. But do you know something? That problem is still with us. In the 16th century, the Roman Catholic Church needed some money to build a palace for the Pope. And there was a man by the name of Tetzel, and he had a great plan. And this was his plan. We will sell forgiveness, indulgences. If you buy an indulgence, your relations who are now in purgatory will be released from purgatory and go to heaven. And that's what they taught, and they got a lot of money in. But it was a lie. That problem is still with us today. The TV evangelists. Oh, if you want health and wealth, if you want me to pray for you, send your check, make it payable to, well, I won't mention any names, but you know what it is. In other words, if you contribute, you'll get blessing. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. The gospel is of free grace. Grace alone are we saved. And the Christian knows that wonderful verse. We are not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was his first mistake. Perhaps there's someone here, and you think you can contribute something to your salvation. Well, you read your Bible. You read Ephesians chapter 2. It's by grace, not works, that we are saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. Mistake number two. Naaman went to the wrong place. He went to the palace of the king instead of the house of Elijah. Now, the king of Israel wasn't very impressed. He thought the king of Syria was out for a fight. And of course, the king of Israel could not cleanse Naaman from his leprosy. And Naaman went to the wrong place to get cleansed. Shall I tell you something? Thousands today have gone to the wrong place to be cleansed from their sins. They've gone to the temple. They've gone to the mosque. They've gone to the cathedral, to the church, to the kingdom hall, the temple of the Mormons. They've gone to the wrong place to be cleansed from their sins. And they haven't heard what you're hearing this morning and what you generally hear in this church. The glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, the eternal person, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died a vicarious death, rose again from the dead, now exalted in heaven, coming again, and is mighty to save, is mighty to save. He went to the wrong place. Quite a number of years ago, I had a man on one of my evangelistic teams. And his story was this. He went around the world looking for God. How about that? He went around the world looking for God. He went to this country, that country. He tried this religion, that philosophy, and all these sorts of things. And he ended up in India, and he hadn't found God. He was so disillusioned, so depressed, he thought, life has no point at all. I know what I'm going to do. I think there's a river down the road. I'm going to throw myself in, and that is it. I've finished. Well, he went down the road, and he got to the river, and the river had dried up. Couldn't get his big toe wet. So he decided to come home back to Britain. When he'd been back in England, in the north of England, he got a little invitation through the letterbox, the Gospel Hall. Come for our gospel service. So he went round to the Gospel Hall, and he was wonderfully saved, and he found God. Well, many of us have got a story to tell, but we know this. There was a day when we went to the right place and we heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing I want you to notice, he wanted public attention. He arrives at Elisha's house. Elisha doesn't come out himself, but he sends a messenger with a message. That's our text. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Please notice 3 things in that text. Number one, he'd got to go to an appointed place, the Jordan. He'd got to obey a command, dip 7 times. And if he went to that appointed place and he obeyed that command, he could expect cleansing. That's all that Naaman had to do. But look at verse 11. But Naaman became furious. You see, why did he become furious? And why was he going to then walk away in a rage? I'll tell you why. Naaman had a proud heart. He loved public attention. When he returned from his battles in the victory parade, everyone cheered, everyone waved and clapped. Oh, he loved public attention. He loved to celebrate and love all focus and attention to be upon him. But Naaman had to learn this. To be cleansed from his leprosy, he had to go to God's appointed place, obey God's appointed command, and then he could expect cleansing. That's all he had to do. But he went away in a rage. Why? Because he loved public attention. Now, you don't mind if I have a little moan and groan, do you? I've never seen this. But people have told me about it, and they've shown me on the YouTube. Now, we don't believe baptism saves anyone, okay? It's just a sign that you're saved. But people tell me this. Today, in baptismal services, people are baptized, and when they come out of the baptistry, everyone cheers and claps, and there's great celebration. Hang on, folk. What's wrong? What's happened to grace? Who has done the saving? We don't want the public attention to be upon a person. We want all the praise and all the glory to given to our God, who redeems sinners from their sins, who washes sinners from their sins. and makes them right with God. And that's why we believe. We give all glory to God. We are but the sinner. We are nothing. We are like worms in his sight. But there's a great and glorious God who saves people like ourselves. Well, Elisha didn't want public attention, did he? That's why he sent his servant. Shall I tell you something? Lots of God's servants have been ruined because they've had too much of public attention. They've been clapped, and they've been the celebrity, and it's all wrong, folk. We must give all glory to God. He is the one who saves. It is his grace which is so rich and so wonderful. Mistake number four. He wanted the spectacular. Look at verse 11. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself," in the AV it's a little bit better, "I thought." Lots of people do that today. "I think this, I thought. He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy." Elisha wanted the spectacular. He didn't want to humble himself and go down into a dirty river to be washed from his leprosy. He wanted the spectacular. Shall I tell you something? There's lots of people who want the spectacular today. We older ones are just used to the plain, ordinary gospel service, where we exalt Christ, we preach about sin, we preach about judgment, and we say you need to be converted, you need to repent of your sins. In Wolverhampton this week, where we run a weekly open air, it's a very strange place, Wolverhampton. Don't let all the Wolverhampton people know that, by the way. But you know, there's church after church after church after church. My friend says there's more apostles in Wolverhampton than there are in the New Testament. Isn't that incredible? Why do you want an apostle? You want miracles. That's what you want. And that's what they're into. They want the spectacular. But it's not the spectacular, ladies and gentlemen. It's the power of God through the preaching of the gospel. And when you examine some of these so-called spectacular things, they're not so spectacular after all. So he wanted the spectacular. But there's another thing. Naaman wanted to tell God how he should be cleansed. Verse 12. "Are not Abama and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went away in a rage. In other words, he didn't want to go to God's appointed place, the Jordan. He wanted the cleaner rivers back in his own country. "Can I go into those rivers and be washed from my leprosy?" And Naaman is in a rage. I've met some people. They've been a bit upset with me. Shall I tell you why? I've told them this, that your churchianity is not good enough. I told them, you can't save yourself. There's only one way of salvation, and that is coming to God's appointed place, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He atoned for our sins. There's no other place whereby sins can be forgiven. And you need to obey God's command to repent of your sins. Oh, that one's a one that really puts people in a rage. I am better than other people. I go to this church and I go do this. But they're not facing reality. And only when you go to God's appointed place, the cross, and turn away from your sin, obey the Lord, can you expect cleansing from your sin. Remember what Naaman's greatest need was? Not the outside, but the inside. Naaman had a proud heart. He wanted public attention. Naaman was arrogant, thinking, I know better than God. He was stubborn. He didn't want to go down into that Jordan. And he was fighting against God. That's why he was in a rage. He needed to be cleansed. I met a man this week. He lived on the streets. Please forgive me for saying this, but it's true. He was filthy. And I'm not talking about his language. I'm talking about his body. You felt like getting a scrubbing brush and giving him a good scrub over, which would improve his condition. When God looks at the human race, they are filthy with their sins. And God says, my heaven is pure and holy. And nothing that is filthy or defiled will enter into my heaven. You need to be cleansed from your sin. And that is the great message of our gospel. Now, we're very glad. This is a lovely little illustration here in verse 13. Some of his servants come to Naaman and they reasoned with him. They get alongside him. They don't shout at him and say, get on with it. They just reason the situation through. Look, if you were asked to do something great, wouldn't you do it? They got alongside him. We thank God for Christians who have that little knack, that little art of getting alongside people to speak to them about their soul. And to say, look, the state you're in, you do need forgiveness, don't you? The state you're in, you know you're not going to heaven, don't you? The state you're in, you're just living a purposeless life. And you need to turn to the Saviour. Turn from your sin and trust Christ to be your Lord and King. And then they say, wash and be clean. So here is Naaman. It's decision time. Naaman, will you keep your leprosy and go back to Syria with your leprosy? Or will you be cleansed from your leprosy? That was the decision. John Bunyan, you know, he was on Alstoe Green. And he heard, as it were, John Bunyan, will you keep your sin and go to hell? Or will you be forgiven of your sin and go to heaven? And that's the question you need to ask yourself today. Well, Naaman, I believe at this moment, he sees the reason. I believe he gets a new heart, because that heart, proud heart, is humbled. That arrogant mind is laid low. That stubborn will surrenders. And that body is willing to go down into the Jordan to be dipped 7 times. And he comes out with a new skin. It's a miracle, a wonderful miracle. Ah, but there's a greater miracle. And the miracle is this, that you can be cleansed from your sin, you can be made righteous in the sight of God, and you can be pure in the sight of God. What do you need to do? Well, we've learnt the lesson. You need to come to God's appointed place on the hill of Calvary, heaven's best, the Lord Jesus Christ. There stood in for others. He paid for every one of his people's sin. He paid the debt. He shed his blood. And that's why William Cowper can write those lovely words. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. What a lesson that is. What a wonderful thing. What a great thing it is to be a Christian. That burden of sin is gone. You're washed in the blood. But you need to do what God says. You need to obey him. Turn from your sin and turn to Christ. Perhaps you've never prayed in your life. Perhaps now's the time to start praying, to ask God to cleanse you from your sin. And when we go to God's appointed place and we do what God has commanded, this is what happens. 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And do you know what happens when a person is really a Christian? They want to worship God. That's what Naaman did, wasn't it? He wanted to worship the true and the living God. You have a new heart. You have new desires. You want to read God's word. You want to pray. You want to meet with God's people. They're all signs of the miracle of grace that happens when a person is cleansed from their sins. Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious God in heaven, we bow before thee. You know our hearts, you know the state of them. You know whether they're clean or whether they're filthy. But, oh, our God, we pray, Lord, please, for grace to humble ourselves, to surrender to thy word, and to come to that wonderful appointed place where Jesus Christ died for sinners like ourselves. May we know that soul's cleansing in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Bless us each one. May we rejoice that our sins are forgiven. Please hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.